Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, we got a lot of news here this evening on The Lake Show. Henry Lake and Christopher Tubbs with you. We'll get to the Timberwolves news here in a bit. But everybody's talking about Super Bowl 59, the complete dominance by the Philadelphia Eagles. And I feel like I viewed last night's Super Bowl or the big game differently than everybody else out there. Yes, it was the Kansas City Chiefs trying to go for a three-peat versus the Philadelphia Eagles. But I viewed this game through the lens of, how do the Minnesota Vikings get better? And I came to a conclusion, and that the thing that the Minnesota Vikings need to do, one of their priorities here in the offseason, is getting an elite running back. Get you an elite running back. I think that the season that has been 2024-2025 has shown us that the running back, or the demise of the running back, has been greatly exaggerated. You need a running game. You need a really good running game. Not just something that you can tease and say, okay, we'll run it here and there. But no, you need an elite runner or runners. And I say that because that's the missing element for the Vikings right now. When you look at the Vikings, you know that they don't have a GOAT in Patrick Mahomes. They don't have a top 10 quarterback in the league in Jalen Hurts right now. Sam Darnold's great. But in games that matter, we know that Jalen Hurts has been there and he's performed at a high level. So knowing that you've got, well, you don't have Sam Darnold right now because he's a free agent. You have J.J. McCarthy, who's a question mark and an unknown. But who's your running back? I'm going to continue to really talk about that over the course of this offseason because as much as I like Aaron Jones, he's not elite. He's good, not elite. And the reason why that just stuck in my brain last night in watching this is for a couple of different reasons. Number one, what was the talker going into this game? The Chiefs have to stop Saquon Barkley. The Chiefs have to stop Saquon Barkley. They did a pretty good job of stopping Saquon Barkley, right? But when you put all of your eggs in that basket to stop Saquon Barkley, then what does that allow Philadelphia to do? Other guys to eat. Yeah, Dotson making plays. He was like the first wideout that was making plays. Devontae Smith making plays. A.J. Brown making plays. So that's what happens. When you focus in on Barkley, everybody else eats, including the quarterback. That's what an elite running back can do for you. That aside, what were the Kansas City Chiefs not able to do, aside from not be able to block and protect Patrick Mahomes? They couldn't run the football. Isaiah Pacheco, who looks really, really good a year ago, after he broke his fibula, he didn't look the same. He did not look the same this year. So he didn't look the same. I know that Kareem Hunt looked good at times, but Kareem Hunt is getting up there in terms of running back years in the NFL too. So to me, the Chiefs could not run the football. So you got a team that had won back-to-back Super Bowls that's going for the third, they're going for the trifecta, and they can't run the football. Then you got the team with the best running back in the world right now. He gets shut down, but it opens up everything else. That's what the Vikings have to add as a special ingredient to their offense. We can sit here and we can talk about Sam Darnold. We can sit here and talk about all the other weapons that we have right now, you need an elite runner.
I think in order for a running back to be elite, I'm going to say, yes, you need the running back, but I also think the guys in front of that running back are going to have to be solidified. Because Saquon Barkley didn't just become a superstar when he got to Philadelphia. He became a megastar in Philadelphia. He was a star in New York, but that offensive line was horrible. And Philadelphia's offensive line is, I mean,
which actually goes against the point, though. Because he was elite before he got to Philadelphia. Like, Philadelphia took it up a notch because of their offensive line. Mm-hmm. But we knew he was special with New York, and their offensive line was terrible.
Right. But what I'm saying is you can have a good running back, but he's not going to be the difference maker unless you can upgrade that offensive line. And that's what I'm saying. Like, Saquon Barkley was not a difference maker for the New York Giants. He gets to Philadelphia, and he works great with Jalen Hurts, with Devonta Smith, A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, whoever else, because of that offensive line.
I disagree with you. The reason why Saquon Barkley wasn't as effective and the Giants weren't good wasn't because Saquon Barkley couldn't run the football. Their offensive line wasn't near what Philadelphia... They had
exactly.
No quarterback! Daniel Jones sucked! That's the reason why. Not because of the offensive line. The quarterback was bad.
Quarterback was partially bad because of that offensive line, too. I'm not disagreeing with the fact that you have to upgrade the running back. Not at all. Because, I mean, Philadelphia, in their previous Super Bowl appearances, I mean, they had guys like Miles Sanders and, you know, Kenneth Gainwell, and you had a whole bunch of other guys that were not Saquon Barkley. Now, I don't think you're going to go out and, you know, be fortunate enough to get a guy like Saquon Barkley on the open market.
No.
But
unless you hit a home run in the draft.
Yeah, exactly. And to me, you can get better at the running back position. You upgrade the talent, you upgrade the line, and to me, those two are going to work together. But, I mean, my God, Saquon Barkley this year, you know, we said last week he was within 30 yards of breaking Terrell Davis's all-time rushing record for a single season, including the postseason. He did that yesterday. The Eagles don't win the Super Bowl, even though he didn't do anything yesterday.
Yeah.
They don't win the Super Bowl if it's not for Saquon Barkley.
Let's take Saquon Barkley out of it for this topic of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
How good was Buffalo with their running game? Elite. James Cook and the quarterback, the MVP, were outstanding this year. Outstanding. Oh, how about Baltimore? The quarterback and the running back, Derrick Henry, elite. Out of this world. This is the reason why I'm hammering home the point.
But
you gotta have that. And I'm not sitting here saying you don't need to have a good offensive line, because you need to have that goes without saying. But if the running back is really, really good, even if the offensive line isn't elite, you can still get some things done.
But you're talking about two league MVPs and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Unless J.J. McCarthy, because I don't think Sam Darnold's going to be back. I don't see that happening. If it is, I think you can take that money, unless you're going to franchise tag or transition tag and trade him. Mm-hmm. I don't see the point in bringing the negotiations to Sam Darnold. Outside of J.J. McCarthy making that leap, you know, in the next year or two, I don't know. I mean,
isn't that more the reason why you would need to lean on a really good running game, like having Brock Purdy have a Christian McCaffrey?
100%. But again, they're also, you're talking about good running backs behind good offensive lines.
Yeah. And that's my overarching point. 651-461-9226. How did you guys view yesterday's game? Did you look at it and were you just all in on the Eagles and you spelled Eagles correctly as opposed to the mayor of Philadelphia that screwed it up a couple of weeks ago? And you just did not want to see the three-peat from the Kansas City Chiefs. There are a lot of Patrick Mahomes haters, a lot of Travis Kelce haters, a lot of just we want to see something different. And it wasn't necessarily so much about Mahomes and Kelce and Andy Reid, but there was a lot of the, you know what, let somebody else win for a change. I saw a lot of that. 651-461-9226. Your reaction, your thoughts. We'll get to it next here on The Lake Show.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the texts are rolling in, 651-461-9226. We know the importance of having good offensive lines and defensive lines, but you got to have that running back. The same way you got to have that quarterback. From the text line, from the 612, Mahomes looked exactly like Darnold in the face of that rush. We need an elite lineman first, or your elite running back won't make a difference. We need Darnold to prove it otherwise. I'm not knocking Sam Darnold, but let me say this. I guess I would say to the texter, which, and I did text them back, it's a good and fair point. But I think they're making my point. If you look at the Chiefs, they made the Super Bowl with a suspect line because of how good the quarterback is. If you have that elite running back, it makes life easier. That's the reason why shutting down Saquon Barkley didn't mean a damn thing. Because Jalen Hurts can still do other stuff. You see that with other teams.
But I guess Saquon Barkley this year changed the entire conversation, because the last couple of years, Kansas City. Isaiah,
and there's only one Saquon Barkley.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying that you're going to go find you a Saquon Barkley.
No, I mean, if we can't pry him from Philadelphia for a sixth-round pick, then I don't know what Howie Roseman's thinking. And by the way, is there a better GM than Howie Roseman right now? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Brett Veach.
Yeah, he's absolute. Or yeah, sorry. no, I'm thinking. But no, the last couple of years, I mean, one of the things that Kansas City did is they got to the Super Bowl with Isaiah Pacheco, with Kareem Hunt, but none of those guys are star running backs.
Agreed.
But now this year, I guess it's like, does Saquon Barkley, a star running back, flip the entire conversation from 1 year ago? Because coming into the year, it's like, well, you don't need a stud running back to make it to the Super Bowl. And now we're talking about, yeah, a star running back is the missing piece.
I think that the conversation revolving around running backs is going to pivot again. I think that people are going to understand that you need a good running game. Well, heck, in Buffalo, James Cook was better than I think most people really recognize. Josh Allen deserved the MVP. To me, he was the best player this year in the league. But James Cook was a stunner. Like, he was off the charts. Another quick text to get to. It was downright painful to watch Mahomes sack after sack, interception after interception. He lost his mental base early on and couldn't recover. I totally agree with that. I think that take is spot on. You could tell after, like, the first three sacks that Pat wasn't the same.
Wild stat. Jahan Dotson had more receiving yards in the first quarter than Patrick Mahomes had passing yards in the first year. That's never
crazy.
Happens.
Yep. All right, let's take a phone call from Jeff in Sauk Rapids. What's up, Jeff?
Henry, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. Good talking to you again. You know, in answer to your first question, I really viewed yesterday's game not so much as a an Eagles dominance as a Chiefs collapse.
Really?
Collapsed.
Oh, I thought it was more. I thought it was more Philadelphia dominance.
No, they could not have dominated that much had they not been given so many opportunities. How many turnovers and penalties did the Chiefs suffer? Do you know?
They had a bunch. They had the three interceptions. They had the fumble when he got sacked. That was four. So I think that they had four turnovers. But hold on, though. Eagles forced that.
And every damn one of them went the wrong way for him.
But the Eagles forced the fumble. They also, on the one interception where he threw across the middle of the field, if you look back on the replay, the guy is falling into Mahomes and forced him to throw it that way. So I think that at least two of those were forced.
Okay, I agree.
Yep.
You're more of an expert than I am. But I fully agree with you on the we need a running back, because you asked about, okay, what do the Vikings get from this? We definitely need a star running back, like you said. And the rest of the story is, don't collapse. Knock off the turnovers. Knock off the penalties. You can't have that. And that's the only advice I've got for the Vikings. I'm not an expert.
I got you. I got you. Hey, thanks for the phone call from Jeff in Sauk Rapids. Look, I'm not going to sit here and try to insinuate that it's just a simple fix. Just plug in an elite running back and everything will solve. That's not what I'm saying here. But I do think that it's higher on the priorities than what I think many people are looking at it. Because, look, you know that you're getting Christian Darrisaw back.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And Christian Darrisaw is a top five offensive lineman in the NFL.
Agreed.
And when healthy, before he got hurt, you can make the case he was the best left tackle in the league.
Having the best year of his career.
Yeah, unbelievable. And got signed to a new contract. With him coming back, and then you clearly, to me, have to continue to get some more guys in the mix there with that offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Vikings should be poised to hopefully continue to be good. The question definitely is going to be, is Sam Darnold going to be back, and what does JJ bring to the table?
And I think one of those things, too, that you're talking about when you're referring to these quarterbacks, we don't have that superstar quarterback here yet. JJ McCarthy could be that guy. He might not be that guy. I'm not convinced that it's Sam Darnold. I don't know. The last two games, I don't know. Maybe that kind of spooked me a little bit. But I feel like if you're going to do anything, if you're going to make that ascension, you have to do it with J.J. McCarthy. And if he can get himself into that upper echelon of quarterbacks, he doesn't have to be in the same class as the Jalen Hurts or the Patrick Mahomes or the Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. But if you can get into that second tier, I think that would be good enough. You combine that with a good young running back. And let's see what happens. And then it's going to be up to KOC to commit to running the ball. That's also another thing. And by the way, looking at penalties, yesterday, Philadelphia had 8 penalties for 59 yards. Kansas City had 7 for 75.
But you know what the majority of those penalties for Philadelphia were? The majority of them were on the field goals.
Well, that's true.
They kept pushing Jake Elliott back.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah. All right, 651-461-9226. We'll get back to some other Super Bowl big game items a little bit later. But coming up next, the breaking news from about 90 minutes ago, Mark Lori, Alex Rodriguez, they win their arbitration case with Glenn Taylor. But I have a different perspective on all of this than the general public. We get to that next. Minnesota Timberwolves fans are celebrating. They are just ready to have a parade right now in downtown Minneapolis. They are. If you see the reaction on social media, whether it's Twitter or Facebook, whatever, everybody over the course of the last 90 minutes, 2 hours, is such a celebratory, I guess, feel to it. Yes! Mark Lowry, A-Rod. They win the arbitration case. Glenn Taylor, you're done. You got to sell the team. And let me take it from this perspective, okay? And I'd love to get your reaction on it. 651-461-9226. I say this to all of you diehard Timberwolves fans, of which I'm one. Be careful what you wish for. I know that it's easy to talk down on Glenn Taylor because he's owned this team for a long time. And this team, the majority of the time, hasn't been a winner. He's made some bad decisions with this team. Most notably, the Joe Smith under the table deal. Hiring people to run basketball operations that shouldn't have gotten the job. But people, let's not act as though Glenn Taylor's been 100% worthless. That Glenn Taylor hasn't tried to put a winner out there. It'd be different if he wasn't trying. We're not the Oakland A's out here. Glenn Taylor spent dollar after dollar after dollar. He wanted to put a championship team together. But he hired some people along the way that weren't able to put us in a good position to do that. Okay? So, yeah, Glenn Taylor, it all starts with him because he's the owner. But he's not the basketball operations guy. Okay? When you hire David Kahn, that's going to be the mistake. And you don't get Steph Curry. Like, those are the type of moves. But let's not act like, from a financial perspective, he hasn't done what he's supposed to do of spend money. Upgrade the arena. So I say to you, be careful what you wish for. Now, Mark Lowry and A-Rod today announced that the arbitration in the Minnesota Timberwolves and Lynx ownership dispute was decided in their favor. The decision endorsed Lowry and Rodriguez's interpretation of the purchase agreement and confirmed that the contractually agreed to timeline for them both to obtain NBA approval and complete their acquisition of the team has not expired. This is their comment. We are extremely pleased with today's decision. We look forward to working with the NBA to complete the approval process and close this transaction so that we can turn our attention to winning championships in Minnesota and for our incredible fans in the Twin Cities community. Mark and Alex. My question to all of you out there is, what confidence do you have that Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry are going to be phenomenal owners for the Timberwolves? 651-461-9226. What is the evidence that you have of that? I'm not saying that they're not going to be. That's not what I'm saying. I hope that they are. I hope that they're the best owners in all of sports. What is the evidence, though, that they are going to be that? Because I don't have that evidence. What we were told a year ago was that those guys wanted to roll back payroll. Well, shocker, right before the season started, we traded away Cat, which has been detrimental to the squad. I don't want the new regime to come in here and start pinching pennies. Well, but Donald Trump's going to get rid of pennies, so we'll be pinching a lot more than pennies. The bottom line is, I'm not sold that they are the saviors that Minnesotans seem to think that they are going to be.
I think it's not that it's Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry. It's that it's not Glenn Taylor. This has given me very similar Carl Pohlad, Jim Pohlad, Pohlad selling the Twins vibes. Well, it's not the Pohlads. I think a big question mark here, the perception around Glenn Taylor, and he's got his warts, fair. The criticisms of Glenn Taylor and the decision-making, fair. The commitment to investing in the team, I don't think that you can't question that, because what he was willing to do was pump the salary back into the team. And you got to the point where you were going to have to pay a ton on the luxury tax. I don't know if it's like 3-1 or so. I mean, it's an extravagant amount. But I just, when you've got a potential ownership group, and I think last year it was the perfect storm for everybody to have their kumbaya moment with Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry. The Wolves are good. The Wolves are hip. The Wolves are chic. Anthony Edwards is the it kid, you know, the next big thing, the next Michael Jordan. And they're on national TV, and you've got the national recognition of Alex Rodriguez, and he's out there, you know, front and center, pimping the Minnesota Timberwolves. This year it's taken a step back, and I feel like it's just kind of died down. Last year was the perfect opportunity for them to get in front of everybody and say, this is who we are.
But were the Minnesota Timberwolves good last year because of A-Rod and Lowry?
No.
Or were they good because of Glenn Taylor? Like I don't know who to give credit to. I do know this. You got to give credit to Tim Connelly, and you got to give credit to Gerson Rosas. And who were those two individuals hired by?
By Glenn Taylor.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I don't think A-Rod and Mark Lowry can take, in my opinion, zero credit for what the Wolves did last year. That is all Glenn Taylor. And those are Glenn Taylor's decisions and Glenn Taylor's dollars. From this point on, I mean, the biggest concern that we've had about the Wolves is Julius Randle isn't a fit. What are we going to do? You know, how are they going to, you know, take a couple of steps forward from taking a step back this year? What are they going to do to make sure that Anthony Edwards is happy in Minnesota? I just have this weird vibe that all of a sudden we're going to get into this. Because let's not forget, Glenn Taylor saved this team from moving. Glenn Taylor kept this team in Minnesota. I think people forget that. In what?
They were headed to New Orleans.
They were heading to New Orleans in the early 90s. So I don't think you can look at Glenn Taylor and say, well, he's completely the villain. Team has not been good. We know that. But I just have this weird feeling, this gut feeling, that you've got two guys that are not from here that are making a business decision to invest in an NBA franchise. Outdated arena. We're going to need that. Guess what? There are some of these markets out there. They don't have basketball teams. Seattle doesn't have a team. I don't know.
If you had your pick, if you had your choice of a wealthy Minnesotan owning your sports team or an outsider owning your sports team, what would you rather have? We would all want the
wealthy
Minnesotan,
right? No question.
All right, so
on the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
I bring that up because it always gets a little bit dicey and you feel a little bit nervous when an outsider comes in and buys up your stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially when you have an old arena, because then the games start getting played where it's, well, we need this.
Yep.
And if we don't get this, we're probably going to have to move on somewhere else.
That is exactly what is going to happen. Mark it down. What is it? February 10th, 2025? At 6:43 p.m., you and I are both in agreement that down the road, we are going to get into this. Okay, the Target Center is old and outdated. It's not viable. We need a new arena. Well, if you can't go to the legislature and get us a piece of the pie, then we may have to look into relocation. We might have to, and we know that we know that leagues make money more off of expansion. Especially in a market like Vegas. We know Vegas is going to be the bargaining chip until they put a franchise there. But you've got you've got Seattle that's out there. Guess what? They lost to Sonics, to OKC. You've got markets out there that are going to be used as leverage against Minneapolis. And is it going to be real or is it going to be fake? But it's going to be a lot of nonsense that I don't think we would have heard if Glenn Taylor would have won arbitration.
Yeah, it's... I just, to any Timberwolves fan out there, any Minnesotan out there, what gives you hope that A-Rod and Mark Lurie are the owners that will lead us to the promised land? What is it about them that gives you faith that things are going to work out? 651-461-9226. I really do wonder, because I think that we are falsely anointing them and crowning them like they're the saviors, and I don't think that A-Rod and Lurie are the saviors. I'm not saying they'll be bad owners. That's not what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But I think that we're ready to crown them. Danny Green crown them. There's no reason to crown them yet.
They came in like gangbusters, too. Like, they came in, and they were front and center, and, you know, the pom-poms, and doing the podcast, and
A-Rod,
cheering,
yep.
And because of Alex Rodriguez, who is the face of it. I mean, Mark Lurie is going to put up more capital than Alex Rodriguez, but you need the face out there. I mean, that's why you hear these ownership groups. You know, okay, you've got Tom Brady with the Raiders, so you have all of these athletes that are involved. It's not because of the capital and the assets that they're putting in; it's because of the face and the notoriety and the buzz. That's Alex Rodriguez is the hype man. He's the Flava Flav of this entire group.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah. I could see him going to Target Center with a big old like. Would it be like a roid? I mean, I don't know. A great big needle around his neck? I don't know. Maybe it'd be a dollar? I don't know. A dollar and a... I don't know.
A-Rod?
Yeah.
Did you say a needle?
Well, because of the roid.
I didn't catch that. It took me like 2 seconds to catch. I like, hold on, dude. Yeah, needle?
Yeah.
Your thoughts, your reaction. 651-461-9226. All right, the text line, a few people chiming in. 651-461-9226. From the 651, no evidence at all that the new owners will fix things, but change is more appealing than stagnation. Are we sure about that? Like, because you get a shiny new owner, that's not always appealing. I think it's a case-by-case situation. You have to look at who is buying, and I don't think it's just clear-cut across the board just because it's somebody new that you're just applauding. That's not how I view sports.
I understand where the texture is coming from.
No, I do, too.
In terms of, you know what, you need something, right? Something more than a fresh coat of paint on this thing. But then it's like, well, maybe they want to take that paint and they want to paint a different house. Like, I would let the team has been stale, but I feel like right now we're in about the best renaissance that we have for the Wolves, which isn't saying a whole lot. And they struck while the iron was hot. I absolutely give them credit. I'm skeptical, man. I am too. People always use Minneapolis as a bargaining chip. I think maybe I'm just scorned. Maybe I've just got PTSD because everybody that buys a franchise here uses Minneapolis as leverage for someplace else.
The Phoenix,
they get what they want.
The Phoenix Suns had Monty Williams, and they had a team that was in the NBA Finals. New ownership comes in. They immediately get rid of Monty Williams. Mm-hmm. They make a big trade that is blown up in their face. Bradley Beal, that whole big three has not panned out. So now the Phoenix Suns, and you're hearing it here right now, Kevin Durant is going to get traded this offseason.
Yes.
Because they have to blow it up. So I guess my point is that, and I'm not against the Ispias. Actually, when you hear their names come up in the whole Minnesota Twins stuff, they're going to want to spend money. The point being, though, is change just for the sake of change doesn't always mean it's going to be great.
And we do know that they are making some changes in terms of, like, the prices to their concession.
Yep.
There are things that would get Twins fans excited about that. There's reason for pause at the same time. Again, like you were saying, Henry, and I think it's a valid point. What evidence do we have to say that they're going to be dedicated to the market? They're going to be dedicated to the franchise instead of just using it as an investment to enhance their portfolio. I mean, they're business people for a reason. People don't get into sports for fun. They get into sports to make money.
And Mike Bloomberg, essentially.
That's your guy.
That's the guy.
That's the guy.
Like, that's the guy.
That's the benefactor of this.
We can sit here and we can talk about
Mark Lurie
and A-Rod. The money guy is Bloomberg.
Yes, exactly.
The presidential candidate.
Yes. Thank you. Nailed it.
From the 612, there's no way Alex Rodriguez is going to leave this team in Minnesota. It's just hip enough for him and his ego.
I think that's valid. I think that's completely valid.
But the track record of the NBA speaks to we want a franchise in Minnesota. The track record of the NBA does not say we want the Timberwolves to go anywhere. That's not what it's been.
Let me ask you this. With where the Wolves are at right now and the success that the Wolves are having, does it benefit the NBA with where the Wolves are at and finally having success? Well, again, success is, you know, a very subjective term when we're talking about the Wolves. But all things considered, they're having the most success that they've had in 20-ish years. And they've been in the market. I guess that would tell me that right now you keep them in the market while they're doing well. Because then you can take an expansion team and put them in a market that doesn't have a team. Because it's like, you just wasted Minnesota then as a market. You know what I mean? It's like they were so bad for so long. Well, now that they're good, we're going to take them and we're going to move them into a market where we could put a brand new franchise.
You know who would love to have Anthony Edwards right now? Seattle.
Man.
The Supersonics, they're going to get a team at some point.
They will.
I'm not trying to scare you guys. Seattle is going to get an NBA team at some point. And I'm going to tell you the two markets that a lot of people are talking about that potentially will happen in the future. Seattle getting a franchise again, and Kansas City, because they have the T-Mobile, formerly Sprint Center.
This is, I'm telling you, it's going to be a full circle moment. Full circle moment this way.
What do you mean?
Kevin Durant out there is a trade option.
Don't say that he comes, plays with...
He comes to play for Minnesota.
And then goes back to Seattle.
Then goes back to the team that drafted him, the Seattle Supersonics. Because who was Kevin Durant drafted by? The Seattle Supersonics.
Well, he played in Seattle.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a full circle for KD. That's what's going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
That's going to happen.
It's not going to happen. I don't believe that we're going to lose our team.
I don't want Kevin Durant in Minnesota then. I don't want him.
Oh, because of that?
Yeah.
You're scared of that?
I'm scared that they're going to go back to Seattle and it's going to be the new Gary Payton and Sean Kemp.
Oh, don't start.
That's what it's going to be.
I just, be careful what you wish for, Timberwolves fans. Be careful what you wish for. You've already heard the rumblings about the payroll, because Glenn said they want to reduce the payroll. I don't want to, because you know who's going to need help, because he's a superstar? Anthony Edwards. He's going to need other good players surrounding him. So don't give him less. Give him more.
Cat was pretty good.
Where's she now?
Is in New York, I think. How about Julius Randle?
He's no longer here. Did he have like a house on Lake Minnetonka?
I think he did, yeah. Okay.
Boy, that's not good.
I'm sorry.
Now I'm traumatized. All right, coming up next, there will always be consequences to your actions. But in this next specific instance that we talk about, is this a fair punishment? I'll let you decide. We get to that next year on The Lake Show.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radnor, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.